Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode, oh gosh, I think it's whatever episode it is. You'll see on the thing. I'm tired. Sorry, y'all. Of the UFO No More podcast. My name is Laura. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Japanese_ginger. The blog is UFO No More on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and UFONomore.com. And we are joined by one of my coworkers for UFO No More, and our blog editor and the Europe editor for Royal Central. It's Brittany.
Hey, guys.
And she is BRITTANI_91 on Twitter. So follow her there. I don't know. Brittany, did anything happen today?
No.
We're recording this on Saturday, by the way. Did anything happen?
No, it was really boring. I think I slept all day.
Yeah, I got a lot of sleep. I'm feeling good. Nope, actually, there was a wedding today. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was kind of all over the place, all over Twitter, all over. So we were both up bright and early to watch Meghan Markle.
Harry and Meghan, not sure who they are.
it was casual. It was an intimate affair. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was just a glorious day. And was not a part. It was modern, yes, that's true. I was not a part of the fandom when Will and Kate got married. So this is kind of the first international, because obviously the other, like, Carl Philip and Sophia, those are big events too, but, like, not everyone. People who don't know anything about royals knew about this wedding. And so it was really cool to be a part of. It was cool to kind of get to blog it and talk about it and kind of interact with people. So, Brittany, I guess we'll start with you. Some big thoughts from the day, just overall opinions of what happened and how the day went.
I thought the day went really well. I really liked I cannot remember his name, the bishop from Chicago.
Oh, yes, the Episcopalian bishop.
Yes, he was, preaching the address. And he, for the British people, I don't think they had a clue, like, how to handle him. Because, you know, they're very demure, reverent, and everything. But in the U.S., our preachers are a little, it's especially Baptist preachers. They can get a little more animated. Well, he was animated.
I did want to mention that because I think people get a little confused and like, oh, that's what it's like in American churches. Not necessarily true in that most Episcopalian, like, Lutheran, Catholic kind of churches aren't going to be that different than what you would see Church of England. Like, this was more like Baptist, non-denominational Christian, that kind of stuff. It was a little more fiery kind of stuff. And I really liked the change of pace. And I loved seeing all of these people react to it. It was hilarious.
Zara's was the best. I mean, mouth open, like in total just disbelief and shock. I mean, guys, you can't see my face, but I'm totally mocking her right now. Just. And then I missed it. I looked down for a split second when everybody at the watch party starts laughing. And I look up and they're showing Philip. So Philip did something. Did you catch it?
I didn't catch it. The thing I saw from stills was like the Queen and Philip were giving major side eye at the whole thing. And then meanwhile, on like right on the bottom of the screen, you see Will struggling not to crack up laughing. So you see the Queen and Prince Philip clearly not amused and William clearly amused. And it was hilarious.
And Andrew even had the side at one point. He had, like, his glasses down. He was just looking, like, seriously.
It was, and I mean, some of it, I have to say, even for me, and I, fair warning, I am non-denominational Christian, so I'm used to a little more of this kind of preaching. Some of it was a little, like, I was like, I don't know how I would react if I'm there. That's, like, this is really taking a turn. But then some of it I really liked, like the thing about like love God, love others, and hey, while you're at it, love yourself. It was kind of really cool because it's a great message that I'm sure a lot of people can believe in and get understand. But it was said in a very conversational, modern, as we said, kind of the theme of the day, way. And so I really liked the whole sermon, and it was definitely one of the highlights of the day for me.
And I also liked that he put a little bit of humor in it.
I agree. Yeah, like, let's get you married, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Everybody, because I was at a watch party in Nashville at the Westin, and I had been invited there, so I was sitting with a bunch of people. And as soon as they said that, people started clapping and laughing. And I'm Methodist, so we're very reverent. So I've been to Baptist churches, and they get up, and they're animated, we'll put it that way. And I'm just sitting there like, you're supposed to be sitting down quietly. You know, it's just what you're used to. So I wasn't at the wedding, so it was more fun to watch the reactions. But if I had been there, like you said, I probably would have been kind of side-eyeing at times, too. So, but it was good. It's something that everybody's going to remember looking back at that wedding.
So another, like, big piece of news that I wanted to talk about, we talked about this beforehand. We are not going to relive anything having to do with a certain member of Megan's family and all of the exclusives that he was granting a certain media outlet. We're just going to move on from that. But we're going to talk about Charles walking Megan down the aisle and how precious that was. I thought it was a great moment, and I thought it represented a lot of things in the sense of, I think it kind of helped show that how, like, not just the, because I think the public has largely embraced Philip more as the years gone on, and to kind of understand that it wasn't just him in the whole Diana thing. It was, like, there were a lot of moving pieces in that whole situation, and there's not just one person to blame for it. There's not a villain and a hero kind of thing. And so I think the public had kind of moved on from that, but they maybe didn't understand what kind of relationship Charles had with his sons. And I think this was just, like, right there, center stage. This is the kind of relationship that they have. Because we always hear about the relationship they have with their mother for a great reason, but they clearly have a very close, tight-knit relationship with their father, and I thought it was really cool to see.
And I think, you know, they made the announcement that he would be walking her. I mean, he really only walked her halfway down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a feminist statement, too, that she was one of the first in the British royal family to walk herself, at least partially, down the aisle. But he had made the comment that he was honored to be able to welcome her into the family in that way. And, you know, him and Diana did not have a daughter. They both wanted a daughter. So that kind of gave him an opportunity to experience that. I mean, he did it once before for a friend's child, but, you know, this is someone who's going to be his family. So, you know, it kind of, I guess, gave him a taste of something that he would have missed out on otherwise.
And I thought the whole Charles, this whole wedding was kind of low-key a star of the wedding for me, because watching him with Daria, too, and just seeing that, it's like, he's clearly the welcoming committee. He was clearly, like, wanted to do everything to welcome her family to the family. And so I thought that was so really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and, you know, it looks like Camilla's been very welcoming, too. And, I mean, she knows, if anybody knows, she knows how it is to deal with the media and then have to come in with, you know, after there's controversy and everything. I mean, she would be a great person for Megan to lean on just because of everything that she had to deal with. But she really does seem like she cares about William and Harry. You can tell that.
Yeah, and I thought the whole family atmosphere of the wedding was really great to see. I wanted to also talk about, so the one thing I missed, I woke up so early, but the one thing I was like, I can't wake up early enough for this, I gotta get a little sleep, was the announcement of the titles, which came very early for us in the States especially. So I wanted to read through those. Pre-apologies if I butchered the pronunciations, you should be used to that right now at this point on the podcast.
I'll judge if you mispronounce the dukedom.
No, I got that. We got that. So there, Sussex is the dukedom. Harry was made Earl of Dumbarton we're going to call it that, and Baron Kilkeel, we'll go with that.
Yep, it's a Northern Irish.
Yes, so title. The dukedom is in England, the earldom is in Scotland, and the barony, is in Northern Ireland. So, and that's following the same kind of pattern that we've seen with William and Kate, Camilla, and even Andrew and Sarah. So,
and the title, the Earl of, is it Dumbarton? We're going with that is actually a new title. It has never been used before.
Oh, I like that. That's
And then with Sussex, it has only ever been used once before. But, there has never been a Duchess of Sussex until now. So Meghan is the very first, because the former Duke of Sussex was married twice, but his wives were not approved. They ended up both marriages were annulled, so they never got the title of Duchess of Sussex. So Meghan is the very first, and it actually has, it goes back to the last Duke of Sussex was very liberal, pretty much. He was very big on abolition, supported, ending slavery and black people getting their freedom. And so it was really, as Victoria Arbiter said on CNN, it was very fitting to choose that one.
So something I kind of wanted to plug, because I knew about I've researched a little bit about the Sussex dukedom, because it was kind of one we all predicted. So
yeah.
Something that I thought was really interesting, his name is Prince Augustus Frederick, which is a very old-timey name. I don't look for Harry and Meghan to honor their kids by naming him Augustus. I don't think really? Prince Augustus. But maybe
that's
Frederick.
My name.
But something that people don't kind of talk about, but I think is really interesting. So the Queen has a patronage with Norwood, which is like a Jewish charity that supports vulnerable children and families, and then also a lot with learning disabilities. And The really interesting thing about that is the first Duke of Sussex was the very first royal patron that this charity ever had. It was called a different name, and it kind of morphed into Norwood today. And so with the Queen obviously scaling back her duties more and more every year, I'm like, that would be a great charity to pass on to Harry or Meghan, one of them. Because it fits so well, and there's so many things that I think it makes sense. And so I kind of did that research, and so I'm so hoping in the future we hear one of them is made patron of that.
Yeah, that would actually be really... really good. I like that.
So, there's Laura's little random tidbit that I've held on to for a while that I wasn't sure, because I'm so used to, and we kind of saw that today, like, the tier prediction, pretty much no one predicted that or even had it in their list of possibilities. The dress prediction, I saw a good number of it in the list of possibilities, but, like, no one... it was not the number one predicted. It wasn't even, I would say, top five of predicted. And so it's like every time it seems like they try to go with something that, like, let's surprise them. And then with the title, they went with, nope, let's just do the one that they're all expecting.
The one everyone has predicted for months and months, and actually years. Because I remember reading a biography, I believe, it was probably a few years ago, and I'm pretty sure it said, it was about Will and Kate, and it said, you know, they were the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, and then it had in parentheses Sussex has always rumored to have been set aside for Harry. So, well, looks like that was, a pretty badly kept secret. We'll put it that way.
So it was, yes, but I was really happy with that title. And just, I saw some things that maybe outside chance they would just do Earl and Countess, kind of like Edward.
Mm-hmm.
Did, but I don't think that makes any sense, because Edward is an earl, because the thought he's going to inherit the Edinburgh when Philip dies. So it's like
he will still, as a queen or the monarch's child, he will still have the dukedom at some point.
So it kind of doesn't really make sense. So I was happy to see that he got that Harry got a duchy, and so now Meghan, we have a duchess. And I wanted to talk about, I was furiously refreshing Twitter and then the royal family website after the wedding to see the webpage and then the updates to Twitter. I have to say I'm kind of sad they didn't take my suggestion on Twitter. So the wonderful lady who took the Christmas photo that everyone used of the four of them, I wanted that to be the Twitter profile photo.
And that would have been a really good Twitter profile.
Because, like, Jess, our friend, told me, she's like, the one they used, and they used one from the forum event, the foundation forum. She's like, it's so far away, you can't really see. You can kind of tell it's the four of them, and you, context clues, obviously it's the four of them. But it's, you want, like, it'd be nicer to have a closer shot of the four of them, which that Christmas photo would have done nicely, and it's just an absolutely beautiful shot. And plus, I think it's cool that, like, a fan took that photo, and so I would have loved to have seen that.
Mm-hmm. And I kept looking, you know, to see when they would update the Twitter, like you were saying, the Twitter profile. Because now it says, because, you know, it had said the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince Harry, and their foundation. So now it has added the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, their foundation, and then they also added based at Kensington Palace. So they added a little bit more, and I'm interested to see how they're going to handle, you know, all four of them now being official royals. And I'm not so secretly hoping that Meghan might go the Princess Madeleine route and create her own. Social media, probably not likely, but
I want all of the royals to do that.
Madeline, Rania, Crown Prince Hussein, now Prince Carl Philip and Princess Sophia have an Instagram. I mean, it's growing, so
it's gonna come to the British royal family. But I always feel like the British royal family are a little behind some of the other royal families on the whole modernity thing, so I think maybe in like 20 years.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it's actually already in the British royal family. The Duke of York has his own.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the other on
Twitter. And Eugenie just got her Instagram account about a month ago.
So maybe. Maybe.
If you hear this, Meghan, please.
Bring back the Instagram. So I wanted to just like kind of spitball some favorite moments from the wedding. I don't know why this turned out to be one of my favorite moments of the whole thing, but at the end of the wedding, Mike and Zara he like looked at her and then touched her bum, and I was like, this belongs in a romance movie. It was the cutest look I've ever, and I can't even describe it, but the look on his face of just like,
you're
the most amazing person I've ever met kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It was really sweet, and she's 8.5 months pregnant, so she could have gone into labor right in the middle of the way.
Wearing heels, too. I'm like, girl, man.
Props to her. It's kind of like Madeline at Carl Phillips' wedding.
True.
Props to women who can do that, because I would not.
I can't wear them, and I'm not pregnant, so.
Exactly.
That's where we're at. But, there were so many really cute, tender moments from the wedding. I really liked the kiss that went on the procession, and they kissed twice. I didn't really catch the second one until I saw the picture after the fact.
Yeah, I didn't catch that either. I didn't see that in the procession, and I was watching it, so it was a blink and you missed it type thing.
And I have to say, I was a little curious because I really understand some of the critiques of having the wedding at Windsor, just because of how hard it would be to set up the city to like accommodate all of those people and the transportation, and like, I'm sure there were a lot of issues, and I can't even imagine it. But that, all that said, the processional route, and kind of because it's a smaller place, the intimate feeling of it was so cool. Like, I don't know what it was like to be there, obviously, but to see it was really cool looking.
Yeah, and, they had already said that if Windsor got too crowded from, you know, people coming in from London and other places on the train was not going to stop in Windsor. That was crowd control. And then a tidbit for security, during the procession, both cellular data and the internet or Wi-Fi was cut off during the procession. So the reporters, like, they could not tweet out pictures or do anything because it was a security measure, you know, while they were, you know, riding through the town in the carriage. So that was an interesting tidbit.
That was interesting, but it also kind of makes sense because from personal experience, so my sister went to college at a popular place for football, and we would go there for football games. And your phone.
I said, I know a place like that. Yeah. I worked for one.
And it's like, you go, and I started turning off my phone because even if you weren't doing anything on your phone, the cell tower, because it's a smaller town that it's in,
yeah.
So the cell towers aren't made to accommodate 80,000 people. And so right. It just died, and your phone would die with it. And so I imagine in Windsor would be a similar kind of thing. If they had left this out, cell towers up, like, even if you could get through, it would be so difficult.
Right. Because, you know, I went to University of Tennessee, and Neyland Stadium, we go to games, and it seats 102,455 people, plus, you know, the city of Knoxville. Once that stadium gets full, Wi-Fi doesn't work, so service doesn't work, so the exact same thing. So, yeah, it's understandable for that, plus the security reasons, because there's just too many evil people in this world anymore.
Did you see that video of the guest trying to high-five the police officer? That was the most cringy video I've ever seen.
I did not see that. I wonder if it was an American guest.
And so, walks up to the police officer, like, holds out her hand. You guys can't see it, but I'm doing this for Brittany. Holds out her hand, is like holding it, waits there for like 30 seconds, and then just like keeps on walking. Like, this is the most awkward thing I've ever seen. Like, why would you think that's a good idea? Don't do that.
It had to be an American. The British would never do that. That has to be one of ours.
One of us. Yeah.
It's one of us. Sorry, guys.
We're relentless. Speaking of which, there were quite a lot of celebrities there. So obviously the cast of Suits, Oprah was there, George and Amal Clooney were there, who else? Victoria and David Beckham, who were at Will and Kate's wedding, Elton John, who was at Will and Kate's wedding also, James
Josh
Blunt,
Stone.
Josh Stone, James Corden.
Uh-huh.
So many, like, I'm sure I'm missing like 20, because they were just, Serena Williams,
and then I will butcher her name, I am so sorry, Priyanka Chopra, actress, Indian Bollywood actress, she's on Quantico.
And I found a really important one, Idris Elba.
Yeah. It was very Hollywood full.
So actually, that's a good idea. So I can kind of transition. If maybe we want to talk a little fashion now, start with the guests, and then we can end with the most important stuff. But first off, I really have to shout out. So I'm a big Suits fan. Gabriel Macht, aka Harvey Specter, was fine. Oh my goodness, I was swooning. He wore a 3-piece suit with a burgundy tie, and like I had to stop for a minute because it was just so gorgeous.
And usually, like, glasses like that are not very attractive, but on him it works. It really worked.
It really works, I tell you. So, he probably wins, like, one of my more best dressed males.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked fantastic. And then, I'll have to say, Sarah Grafferty, I was not a fan of her outfit.
No.
I love Donna, but I don't know, the sleeves, and then I'm not big on hats anyway. It's not something we do in the U.S., obviously, but the veil type thing over her eyes, I just wasn't fond. And she wore, I believe, Lanvin?
Lanvin.
Lanvin? Okay. Yeah. I had never heard of that brand before until.
It's very popular. They did a really popular diffusion, like, special line with H&M that, like, people were camping out to buy a few years back. And actually, Victoria wore a few from that line, so. It's a very popular French, I believe. French, yeah, it's French designer. The one that I, so from Suits, the one that I really liked for the women was, what's her name? Gina Torres. And I actually found it. She wore that red striped kind of thing, and it was Castellanos. I actually found the dress, so yay. I made like three or four finds the whole day. I was happy about that one. And I just thought it was, and I read the article about it that I thought kind of summed it up really well, where it was like, it still had a very nod to the British wedding royal kind of vibe, and that it was very appropriate and warning and like beautiful, but it also had a little bit of sheerness to it, and it had a little bit of other references in it so it was like kind of perfect for the wedding in that it was traditional enough, but it also had some modern touches to it. So I really liked her.
Mm-hmm. I did too. It looked really nice. Let's see. I'm gonna mess it up again. Priyanka. It was just, I think a lot of people talk, like, the outfit made her shoulders look very, very wide, mm-hmm. and the rest of her body more petite, and so I didn't think it fit very well, although I did kind of like her hat, I have to say, I did like her hat. I know a lot of people probably didn't, but I did.
I think I didn't love the outfit, but her wearing it made it so I didn't hate it. Like, if someone else wore that outfit, I probably would have hated it. But she mm-hmm. has the ability to really wear a lot of things. So yeah. I would have liked for her to wear something different, but I think she looked fine in that. So that's not exactly high praise, but I think it's like she has the ability to pull off things other people can't pull off.
And then Serena Williams, I love her. I think she's great, but her outfit was... It had kind of like that neckline that Victoria's dress had during this tour when the Cambridges were there. The color was, I think, a little too light for her. And I'm not big on hats, but that thing on her head was not
look. I loved her. Her outfit was probably one of the better fitted outfits, which is a thing. Mm-hmm. And especially men. Men with fashion, number one thing is fit. Tailoring is the number one thing, but women too. And so hers was one of the better fit outfits.
Mm-hmm, it did fit really well.
I just would have liked it in like some of the, some of what we were seeing the royal guests wear, like a pastel-y kind of color. Like that's what I would have thought would have looked really great. But I did really like that dress just as a dress. It just needed, I think, a little different color. It was Versace. Yeah. It was Versace. And I was surprised when it was Versace. It did not... Bless. Wow. Ooh, sorry. Sorry about that. Anyways. Sorry, got a little off track there. Do you want to talk a little bit about royal guests?
Sure. Are we going to... I'm going to count the Spencers in that with that because they're Harry's.
Let's talk about that one first. I think I know which one you're going for. Kitty Spencer,
The girl. I wasn't going with Kitty. I was going with Charles. Charles's wife, so the Countess.
Oh well, we can talk about both of them because I liked both of them. I thought Kitty Spencer was right up there for like one of the best. The accessories were whatever; they were fine, but that dress was stunning.
I really liked Countess Spencer. Like the color on her was really. I thought it was really like a flattering purple on her.
The Spencers win the royal wedding dressing sweepstakes there. They were really came to play.
Yeah, they did a good job. And you know, Kitty's neckline was, I mean, it's not exact like what ended up being Meghan's, but it still had that kind of like a wide open neckline where the shoulders, mm-hmm. you know, were seen. And little did we know that was kind of a hint of what we were going to see.
And so I just did want to get this out because we do have IDs for all both of those. Kitty's was Dolce & Gabbana, and mm-hmm. the purple one was Pamela Rowland. So both designers you will see on the red carpet a lot. So that I thought that was two really great ones. I also wanted to shout out Beatrice and Eugenie. Met a lot of speculation after William and Kate's wedding of what crazy thing are they going to do. And the crazy thing they did is they went really subdued, I thought. Still very beautiful, still very, like, on anyone else, you wouldn't call it necessarily subdued, but given the expectations, it was a lot not as wacky. I really liked both of them. I thought they were just very, one, who was wearing the blue retro Jackie O style pillbox?
That was Eugenie.
Yeah, okay, so Eugenie wore that one, and that was, like I said, it was a little Jackie O moment, so it was stylish in that way. And then Beatrice wore a Roxanda dress that was also very beautiful. I think it's like a turquoise color, and they were both very, just, I thought, very well executed and not boring, but also not stealing some of the spotlight.
Yeah, they didn't steal the show this time like they did with the wedding in 2011. And then Pippa Middleton's dress, you kind of could see a little bit of a baby bump, but it was by the Fold London. It was like a green with the flowers. And I did not think of this until I saw it on Twitter, but someone said her dress looked like the Arizona tea.
It does.
And it does.
You can't unsee it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
So Pippa's dress, I'm really conflicted about, because I did, even with the Arizona iced tea, I liked the print. However, the, like, car wash pleated hem on the bottom, I really didn't like that. And so it was just like, if we just hadn't done that weird pleated hem thing, I would have loved it.
Yeah, it would have looked a lot better if it was just, like, a smooth.
Yeah, or even pleated but not having nude panels in the pleats. Like, having the print continue throughout the pleats. I would have been okay with that. I liked Carol Middleton, too. She wore a nice blue Catherine Walker coat. And I thought that was just very appropriate. It's not anything that's going to be, like, super memorable, but that was the goal. And so I really appreciated that. And kind of along the same lines, too, Kate wore a McQueen that, if you, like, were thinking, okay, what inspired this McQueen? It was, like, let's not be the center of attention. Let's not even have anything to try to make a story, because you know they're always going to make stories with Kate, and so she's like, I'm going to do as little as possible to encourage that.
Make sure that Megan got the attention on her big day.
And there was a lot of debate around whether this is the same coat that she wore to Charlotte's christening and a few other events, or if it was a different coat with a very, very similar style in a different color. And I'm going to say, just, this is my area, this is my domain, the fashion finder in me, a lot of the, like, seams and pleats do match. Mm-hmm. However, the palace in the press release called it a, like, primrose yellow, which, if you look at the pictures from Charlotte's christening and the other events where she worn that, I don't think you could say it was ever yellow. I've never seen a picture from any of those events that made it seem yellow. So I'm inclined to believe that it's a new one just because of that detail.
I think it's a new one.
But it was very reminiscent of the one that she wore to Charlotte's christening.
Right.
Which I thought was a nice touch. Because I was looking through the events that she wore that coat that she wore to Charlotte's christening, and it was Charlotte's christening in 2015, Trooping in 2016, in 2017, the battle that I can't pronounce in Belgium, the 100th anniversary of that. And so those are very, very big, important events. And so I thought it's kind of a nice little symbolism there.
Yeah, well, you know, she wears it for, like you said, big, important events, and obviously the wedding of her brother-in-law, who she's very close to, is, you know, a huge event, and, you know, both her kids were in it. A very shy Prince George, and a, as usual, very happy, friendly Charlotte.
Waving.
Oh, I thought it was so precious. When they got in the carriage, and she was just waving, so sweet. She was like, bye, Uncle Harry! Bye, Aunt Megan! Like, you could just tell that she, you know, she was happy to be there, and she's probably sad. She's probably thinking, Megan, you took my uncle. Like,
fun uncle. But yeah, so I really appreciated what Kate did there, and I thought it was perfect for what that needed to be. And I also have to say, she wore Kiki McDonough earrings. And mm-hmm. I was curious of like, oh, maybe she'll borrow like the pearl drops or something from the queen. I really like that she didn't, because again, I think that's keeping the focus on Meghan. And so I thought really perfect in the sense of it accomplished exactly what it should have for Kate. So
kudos. And she wore a new ring too. Mm-hmm. It was on her, I guess on her right hand. And I believe it was gold, and I think it was Kiki McDonald, too, because that's what she...
I saw a little bit of debate about it. Could have also been an old one that's never been identified. The Countess of Wessex blog, Annie, she's amazing. If you don't follow her already, you should. Had, like, a collage of that. And so I never really saw the resolution on that. But, yeah, a ring on Kate, which we don't always see a lot. I mean, obviously, we see Big Blue, but we don't always see other rings. So I thought that was interesting, too. So other guests, what did you think of Camilla's hat?
I was not a fan.
Neither was I. It's a little much. I liked her dress. I liked her coat, or her, like, the rest of the outfit. The hat was a little much.
The color was pretty. Like, I will give her the color, but the hat itself was not.
And then, of course, we had, the queen in lime green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly what I would expect from the queen. So I
was. Oh yeah, she was in bright yellow for Will and Kate. So you know, she was in a very happy color.
And you know, she always has to make sure she can be seen, and you can definitely see that green.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and you know, she was very proud of her to see her grandson, you know, finally marrying the love of his life, and she was like any grandmother, I think. You know.
While we're talking about that. Just to clear the air a little bit, Harry bowed, Meghan curtsied, it happened, it was bad camera angles. There's no debate, there's like, you can see from above, you can see them do it, it happened. Mm-hmm. No conspiracy theories, it happened.
Yes, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories, you know, there were some crazy people out there convinced that the wedding was not actually real, wasn't going to happen, yada, yada, yada. And they said, well, see, they didn't even bow. And curtsy, which is a lie, they did. So, you know.
And, and that brings up something that I didn't get to talk to in our non-fashion portion of the event. I really loved, and I know we've seen it before, but I just always love watching the royals sing God Save the Queen, and especially Meghan. It was so, mm-hmm. so impactful and so cool. And obviously, I was singing along in my bedroom because, you know, I'm cool like that.
I was singing in my head because I was, like I said, at a watch party. And I was waiting on someone to be like, why are they singing My Country 'Tis of Thee? But no one did it, so we were good.
I don't know how many Americans know My Country 'Tis of Thee. It's kind of sad. We learned it in school, but I think it's, like, going away.
Yeah.
It was common. But anyways... So we talked a lot about fashion, but I think we left one maybe kind of important, maybe two important, like, you know, the bride and groom.
Right. What are their names again?
Yeah.
Meghan and...
So the newly minted Duke and Duchess of Sussex first, William, or Harry, and I guess we can talk about William too, wore the uniforms. Not one that was predicted, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, it was maybe some predicted. I saw one reporter predicted that one. I think a lot of people thought he might have worn the one from the Marines, which is what he just got appointed to.
Yeah.
To replace Philip, because he hadn't worn that before, so it would be like a new thing. But I really liked this one. I thought he looked very dashing. I mean, he would have looked at whatever uniform he chose.
But yeah, he looked very, very handsome.
And then it was cool because then, so the page boys wore mini versions, and mm-hmm. it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I loved seeing, like, George, especially, matching his dad and his uncle.
Yeah, we needed a picture, and I'm sure there was, of the outside of Will with George, and it's like, this is the future. Like, it's going to happen. like many decades from now, George will be all grown up, and it will be
his wedding.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. That was a cool thing to see. But of course, the main star of the show was the bride, and she wore Givenchy. And the thing about that was Givenchy is a French house, but the lead designer, Sarah, I forget her last two names, sorry, I should have been better about that, is
British.
So yeah, I had that Commonwealth connection. But I have to say, I am a little bit surprised it wasn't a British label, that it was a French label, or a Canadian label. I would have kind of expected British, Canadian, maybe outside chance, USA. French label is kind of interesting, but, I mean, I thought it was a beautiful dress. And here's the thing. I think they decided it wasn't actually going to be about the dress. I think they decided, we're going to make this beautiful, symbolic veil, and that's going to be the star. Because that will bring focus to her face, and just, it'll create this beautiful shot. And so I think the dress was kind of made with that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And, well, the veil had flowers incorporated on it from every single Commonwealth country. And then the California poppy was on it, too, obviously, as a nod back to where she was born and raised. And it was a very big veil, but it was really pretty, I think. Like you said, with a lot of symbolism in it.
And so, yeah, and so that's like, just looking at the dress, because obviously the dress was, of course it's beautiful, but to me it was like the whole thing together. So the dress with the veil and the tiara and the hair and the makeup and everything, it was like a cohesive thing. And the dress, like, you don't always need the dress to be, and this is true of any kind of dressing, the gown doesn't have to be the main point. It can be something else is the main point of that outfit. And I thought it was really good, because with the tiara and the veil being so prominent in that look, it brought all the attention up to Megan's beautiful face. And I thought that was kind of a very good and conscious choice. And so I really did like the dress, but I found myself wowed by other aspects more.
And I always said, like, I liked the neckline of it. And I thought it was very reminiscent of kind of the neckline of Crown Princess Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And then the long sleeves kind of looked back kind of like Crown Princess of Norway. I think, like, was it you who said that?
Yeah, so I said, because someone told me, because I said, oh, I think she's, originally I predicted, I was like, oh, maybe something like Victoria's. Someone said, oh, she did that today. And I don't really, it kind of looked like Victoria's, but I think really what I ended up coming away with was, like, if Crown Princess Mary and Crown Princess Mette-Marit's dress had a child with a huge train, it would probably be something similar to Meghan's dress.
Yeah. And it was pure white.
Mm-hmm. And I liked that.
It was very pretty, I thought.
I thought so, too. And so now, of course, we got to talk about the tiara surprise. So my prediction, my desire, was a Strathmore Rose tiara. There was a lot of other predictions. I didn't see this one a lot. It was Queen Mary's. It's always been referred to as the filigree tiara. But I'm going to look it up. It was actually called Queen Mary's Diamond Bandeau Tiara by the palace when they released what she was wearing. And
it was made in 1932 with the center brooch dating back to 1893.
And then Queen Mary died in 1953. And so it's been just kind of in the vaults, because it's had no wear since her. So it's kind of just been sitting there waiting for someone to wear it. And I thought, obviously we have no way of knowing if this will be like Kate's, where it's just worn once and then she wears another piece to the any tiara events she needs to go to, or if this is like her one piece, kind of more like, not necessarily Sophie, because Sophie got a few other pieces, but Sophie still wears her wedding tiara. So if it's still going to be, if it's like just for this one day, I kind of really hope that she wears it more, because I think this is the perfect kind of tiara for someone. Like, it can go with a lot of different things, and Megan carries it very well. And it's just very stunning and sparkly, and that's kind of what I want with a tiara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, see, there was a lot of confusion at first, you know, because we got the first glimpse when they left the hotel. And there was a lot of confusion because a lot of people thought that the way the camera angle was coming through, that it might have been the Spencer tiara. Mm-hmm. But I knew that wasn't very likely because she would, it was more likely she was going to be wearing something loaned to her by the queen. And so it took, you know, until I think they got, you know, like in the main drag heading towards the castle that we could really see the tiara and people were able to identify it before.
A podcast guest on the show, Sad Salmon, who, the Royal Watcher, he was, like, the first one I saw, and he beat everyone by a good margin to, like, pick it out and picked out the different elements. He really knows his jewels, because he also picked out, later on in the evening, she wore Diana's aquamarine ring to the evening event, and he picked out both of those right away. So, shout out to him for being a jewel aficionado. So, I really liked this tiara on Megan, and I have to say, I really, really loved her hairstyle. I haven't always liked how she's worn her hair to events she's worn it to, just because sometimes it didn't feel complete, but I thought this one did, and I thought this one was a good balance of, like, formal enough for a wedding, but still really Megan, and so I enjoyed that.
I would have preferred, though, like, some of the hair that was kind of dangling right in front of her eye. I think there might need to have been a little hairspray that kind of kept it pulled back a little bit. But that was my only complaint about the hair, that it was a little too loose to where it was kind of coming down on her eyes.
And then I really, really liked the makeup, because she just went super simple and natural looking. And I thought that was such a powerful statement. Of, like, this is who I am, you're going to love me. And everyone did.
Exactly. And then she wore a different dress for the evening reception. Mm-hmm. And I actually, it's a very unpopular opinion probably, but I liked it better than the wedding gown that she wore to the church. I felt it was more Megan and, I guess, more American looking in it. But it had the, you know, the cultured neck. Mm-hmm. And it was by Stella McCartney.
Yeah.
It was they said it was a bespoke lily white high neck gown made of silk. Silk crepe. Is that I guess? Right. You know me and my fashion. I just like all. And then she was wearing shoes from Aqua Zura, made in silky satin with nude mesh and soles painted in baby blue.
It's kind of a nod to the aquamarine ring she was wearing.
Which was nice that, you know, now Kate has a ring of Diana's, and so Megan has that one as well.
And I also really, she wore Cartier earrings to the wedding, and she wore a different Cartier earrings to the reception. And there is some speculation, because there's speculation that Kate has a Cartier set of earrings and a necklace and a few other things, and there's speculation that that was a wedding gift from Charles. And so there's a speculation that Megan's Cartier jewelry was a wedding gift from Charles. And if that's true, I think it's a very nice touch, because then you have Diana with the ring and Charles with the earrings. And it's just like a nice way to incorporate the whole family.
And the earrings that she wore for the evening reception and the bracelet she wore during the wedding matched.
Yeah, so that's why people think that
It was the set. And I misunderstood at the beginning of the wedding. I thought that that was actually a bracelet that was also on loan from the queen.
Oh.
And so I completely misunderstood that until I went back and read the email after the wedding was over. And I realized that, you know, I had misunderstood that it was not on loan. But it was very, very pretty, I thought.
Yeah. So, and I really liked the reception gown, the reception whole look, too. I loved the pop of aquamarine. Aquamarine and amethyst are probably like my two of my favorite stones, obviously, besides diamonds. Who doesn't love diamonds? I think, obviously, the Stella McCartney one was not a realistic thing for the church, because the whole shoulder sleeve thing. So I think I love the wedding look Because it's like, I always hesitate to say I love the wedding gown, because I think on its own, I maybe don't love it, but as a whole look, I love the wedding look, and I love, the reception look, I really loved too, so I thought she really knocked it out of the park, and she stayed true to herself, but also really it was grand.
Yeah, agreed. I was a little, I thought maybe she would have some sort of an American nod, like maybe she'd wear Jimmy Choo shoes or something like that, which Kate actually wore Jimmy Choo shoes, so I kind of thought maybe that was a nod to her new sister-in-law, kind of, with the American designer, because see, the engagement that Kate had the day that Meghan and Terry's engagement was announced, she wore Kate Spade, which was obviously an American designer, so I've always felt that was kind of like her subtle way of showing her support and approval, if you know what I mean, through fashion.
Yeah. So it was, yeah, I definitely, some of the stuff that Meghan chose, so it was unexpected for me, like, wasn't necessarily predicting that designer, some of the different choices, but I really came away, and I think it's safe to say, it would take something really atrocious for me not to like it, because I just, weddings are such happy occasions, and I think you should just want to celebrate, and so it's and that's what it felt like, and it was such a fun time just to get to celebrate with everyone, and flip out over every little thing.
Oh, yeah, and I liked that, and I'll mention it, because they were, like, the most wonderful hosts. I was invited to the Westin in Nashville for the watch party, and it was so nice to sit with a bunch of other people and hear their reactions, and everybody was talking about the dress and then the reactions during the ceremony and the carriage ride, the kiss. You know, there was one lady who, when's the kiss, when's the kiss, when's the kiss, you know, that's what everybody was looking forward to. So it was a really good day, a very long day.
Well, okay, so it's 9:40 my time, 10:40 Brittany's time, and we're both just like, especially me, because I haven't had really a nap at all, been up for so long, I'm just dead to the world at this moment. But so with that, any last thoughts, any parting impressions you have of the wedding?
I just thought it was great, and I'm excited to see them in a few days for their first engagement as a married couple, and I'm excited to see what she's gonna do. And I'll mention if they, I think they'll have kids, and I think that announcement will be personally, I think maybe 3 to 4 months from now. I really think they'll pull a Madeline and Sophia type thing, because you know she is 36. So, but you know those kids will be born as Americans, so they'll be in line for the throne, but they could also be president of the United States.
Which is really cool to think about.
Yeah, and Princess Leonor is the same way.
Yes.
She could be president of the United States. And I actually wrote an article for Royal Central that was published this morning of the royals that were born Americans, like Leonor, Crown Prince Alexander of Serbia's 3 sons were all born in the U.S., almost all but one of the kids of Crown Prince Pavlos and Crown Princess Marie Chantal, all their kids were born in the U.S., so they have titles, but they're Americans. And then, obviously, Prince Albert, Princess Caroline, and Princess Stephanie all were born with American citizenship. And as far as I'm aware, only Albert has given it up. And even the King of Thailand, the former king, Rama the Ninth, he was born in Massachusetts, so he was born with U.S. citizenship, but gave it up when he was 18.
So that's really interesting. So definitely check that out
if you are interested.
I don't know. I think I've swooned is pretty much is all. That's all my. I said it on Twitter. Like I said this way too much on Twitter. Stunning, stunning, stunning. That's my like go away parting thought. Stunning. So cool. With that, more to come from the newly minted Duke and Duchess of Sussex. we'll be sure to cover it all. Lots going on. Thank you so much, Brittany, for joining us. And with that, we'll say have a great week, everyone. Bye.